Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tarot of Empowerment Radio, where you can obtain tools to live to your highest potential with Judith Sult, who has over 30 years as an intuitive tarot reader, teacher, and healer.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Tarot of Empowerment Radio. We have lots of goodies today, and we're going to be having a guest, Julie King, whose motto is, if you can see the future, you can change it. And we're here to tell you a little bit about your present and your future. We'll be taking readings during the show, and there are still some places, so you can call 347-205-9869 if you would like to have a reading today. Before I bring Julie on board, I'd like to give you an update on the new cards from Tarot of Empowerment, the deck that I'm co-creating with Gordana Purgas. Our newest cards are the Advisor, that is the Hierophant or the Pope in the traditional deck, and the Chariot. You can see the cards on our Facebook page, Tarot of Empowerment, and if you go on there, please like us. We like to be liked. And I just posted pictures of the two new cards on there, so you should see them as soon as you pull up that website. So that's the Advisor. In the traditional deck, the Hierophant is often a rather foreboding card. He's steeped in tradition and represents the status quo. In some decks, he's depicted as the Pope, both a spiritual and an authority figure, and just kind of restrictive. In Tarot of Empowerment, we're somewhat revisioning some of the cards, and the Advisor is one of those cards. For me, the Hierophant evolved into the Advisor as I've been doing readings over the years, because I saw the Hierophant as someone who has specialized knowledge. It might be in the area of spirituality, of law, of accounting, a teacher, a counselor. And that person takes that specialized knowledge and translates it to the masses so that they can understand what it is that they need to do. This is the energy of the philosopher and the teacher who calls upon his experience and tradition in order to provide guidance. But it's a compassionate card. We like to think of ours as a more compassionate card. And you'll see when you pull up this beautiful card that Gordana made, she has painted an image of the Dalai Lama. And I love it because he's got his very gregarious smile, and that man, he just twinkles so much. He is such a wise and a compassionate soul. The other new card is the Chariot, which has a very different energy than the Hierophant. We stay very much with the traditional interpretation, which is about controlled, rapid, and focused change. The decision has been made when you get the Chariot card. The decision has been made, and now is the time that you're going to use your drive and determination to cause a change necessary to achieve the goal that you've set for yourself. The Chariot is one of the five cards of change in the deck, and it's very rapid change. And you've got to stay focused when you have this card because you don't want to get off track and crash and burn. The Chariot Tour in the Tarot of Empowerment deck is flying on the back of a beautiful owl. It's one of my favorite cards. They're all one of my favorite cards, it turns out. The owl represents wisdom and change. And just as the owl can see in the night, she can distinguish true reality from that which is illusion. So the charioteer is focused on his objective and on the truth of his objective. And he's riding his totem owl with intelligence and intuition. So again, you can see those cards on our Facebook page, tarotofempowerment.com. And please like us there. We expect to have the Major Arcana deck available in time for Christmas. Yes, we are putting out the deck with the Major Arcana. It'll have a book with it that has the interpretation for each of the cards and layout specific to using only Major Arcana. And remember, these Major Arcana, when you get them in a reading, these are the archetypes. And the information that you get will be quite profound. The readings that I use when I only use Major Arcana are shorter readings because each card packs quite a wallop. And it's a great way to learn the cards if you're new to tarot. And if you're an experienced reader, it's a great way to get a new perspective on what the cards can be. So I'll be announcing that, but we will definitely have them in late fall. The book and the deck, the Major Arcana deck, should be by that time. I'll also be using the cards in the Becoming Who You Want to Be workshop in the fall. And that will be an in-person workshop. It'll be 2 days, and it will be in late fall. So if you're interested in getting information about that workshop, please email me, Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, at Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, Sult, S as in Sam, U-L-T, Judith at JudithSult.com. And let me know that you're interested, and then I will forward you the rest of the information about that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're flying in from out of town, Bellingham does have an airport, and it's very often not anymore, especially if you fly on Alaska. This is not a plug for them, but if you do want to fly up here, check out the Alaska rates because they often don't charge any more to fly here than to fly to Seattle and then up here. So that's what we have for now. Now, moving gears and changing channels, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce to you the very talented tarot reader and psychic Julie King. She's a gifted psychic who specializes in relationships, finances, personal transformation, and business career matters. She is a businesswoman herself. Her readings are accurate, motivating, and energizing, and I can tell you that because I've had readings from Julie before, and she really is terrific. As a professional intuitive for over 35 years, her primary divination tour is the Voyager deck by James Wanless. And though she draws from years of experience working with symbols, astrology, angels, color, spiritual psychotherapy, biogenesis, and other healing modalities, Julie is also a licensed minister, counselor, spiritual teacher, and business consultant. She has clients all over the globe and has been featured both nationally and internationally on television and radio programs and in numerous magazines. I'm so thrilled to have you with us today, Julie King. Are you there? And welcome.
Thank you so much, Judith. Oh, I'm really excited to It's a pleasure, and it was so nice to hear you talk about, you know, that you're sharing with people who are listening the development of your deck, and that's having been around the development of the Voyager Tarot. It's such an exciting time, and I think it's really fun that you talked about the Chariot card, because we're in the Chariot year, the year of big change, the number 7.
That's right. I should have mentioned that. That's perfect. For those of you that don't know, you find out what the universal year is, what the energy of the year is, by adding up all the numbers. So 2014 is 2 + 1 + 4, and that's 7. So thank you, Julie, for reminding me about that.
Well, we've certainly, I mean, I think that it's, you know, magical things happen. I'm sure that you have lots of stories as you're creating this deck and working in that realm to birth something so beautiful and so profound, and then also having that card that you talked about. And I like the advisor for the Hierophant and the Dalai Lama being represented, and yet that Chariot card is, I guarantee there's probably not one person listening that has not experienced even vicariously lots of change, and we see that out in the outer world and around the globe. And so this is the year of, as you spoke about with the Chariot card, quick change.
Yes, very rapid change. In fact, that was part of what brought us up to speaking about this theme today, because Julie and I were talking before the show on last week, and one of the questions that we have for each other is, how do you advise people during this year of change? Because so much is happening, and it seems like you give people advice, and then before you know it, or before they've been able to act on it, often the situation has changed. And so maybe you can speak to that a little bit, what you're seeing out there as a reader, Julie.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. It shows up individually. Some people might be having a lot of change in their business or their finances. Other people interpersonally, health challenges. There's just, it seems like every single person that I've been working with for the last, truthfully, the last couple of years, you know, it doesn't just start in January and go.
Right.
It's kind of a process. But just so much happening, and really getting, because the people that I seem to work with, almost all of them are on a conscious spiritual path of some sort. So it seems like to me that we're really being asked, this is my main message I like to give out, to stay awake to the best of our ability, to not go to sleep, to not numb out, to not, I mean, we all need to cope with change as best we can, and nobody's perfect, but to pay attention and stay awake so that we can respond when we need to in a moment. Because as you said, you know, we're here, and you work, you know, beautifully. I've also, for those listening, have had incredible readings from Judith, and they're very empowering. And you know, someone like you said, you can just barely get going on something and then something else changes. So for everyone, I feel like it's about how can we best pay attention. And even though I say my motto is, if you can see the future, you can change it. Well, even in today's world, nothing is written because everything's happening so quickly. So it's more about how to stay present. It's basically what I'm seeing. That's my main message, I think, for this year.
Yeah, and that's an interesting idea when you're talking about seeing the future, too, is you may be able to have a glimpse of what's coming up, but you have to stay in the present while you're looking. It's like looking perhaps through a telescope or binoculars or mm-hmm. something like that. It's very different. Julie, can you share with our listeners how you got started on your path using tarot? And, oh gosh, you have so many other tools, divination tools, and so much more knowledge. Would you mind sharing that with us?
No, that would be fine. I was one of those people who, from the time that I, from like 4 years old, I've always wondered about the universe and what's God. And, you know, I was very, very curious, interested in what I would call an existential, even at a very young age, like, wow, why are we here? That was one of my main questions. So,
do you remember how old you were when you started asking that question, or did you come out of the womb that way?
Probably about four. I mean, I just, you know, how some people talk about they have an awakening or something, and I, for some reason, don't remember that. I just have always been curious. And when I was a teenager, there were very few books that were around back then. And I remember going to a used bookstore in Atlanta where I was a teenager and buying this, mm-hmm. these little spiritualist books because mm-hmm. that's all I could find about how to astral project and things. So I would try to astral project and do all these everything. And I bought a tarot deck for myself when I was 13, and it was a gypsy tarot. I think I bought it at that, either in New York, I'd gone to New York, or someplace, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't figure out, it didn't make much sense to me, and I'm very visually oriented, which is why tarot is such a beautiful tool for me, because I get stimulated by pictures and I see things. So that particular deck, I never could really figure out how to do it, and then I did other things, and, you know, Sufi, Siddha yoga, different things, and I ended up in California, and I had my first tarot class, took a class when I was maybe 24.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really, I had meditated. I'd done a lot of other things spiritually in Theosophical Society, and I was always curious. But the tarot itself, I never really learned how to read it, and I was a spiritual healer before I started doing readings. And then the cards just made sense, and I learned with the Aleister Crowley deck, the soft deck. And it's a very, very visually rich, full of symbology and systems. And all of that worked really well for me, and it's just the perfect tool. And I've always thought that tarot is kind of like opening presents, because you never know what you're going to get when you turn it over. It's like, oh, boy, what am I going to get now?
Yes, I know.
It's fun.
I'll ask a question, and in my own mind, or, you know, somebody has asked me a question, and in my own mind I'm thinking, what card could possibly answer this question? And then the card comes up, and it's like, oh, of course. And
you know,
but it is, that surprise, yeah.
It's so much fun, and it's so interesting. And one thing I've learned to do for myself, because I don't know, if maybe you're better at this. I'm not the best reader for myself, because that's not the card I wanted or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
I have occasionally done recordings and pretended that I was reading for someone else, and it actually works better for me that way.
That's actually what I have my students do. And those of you who try to read for yourselves, a lot of people, when you first get your decks, you'll read for yourself, and you're too embarrassed to read for someone else. And like Julie says, you are your own hardest client or person to read for. But if you read into a recorder, you'll be amazed at how brilliant you are when you listen to it again.
That is truth, absolute truth. And that's it's a wonderful teaching tool, because we do get spurred. There are very few people I know that aren't critical of themselves, you know, especially when someone's learning and when we're learning a new skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not only that, but you're using, when you're reading, you're using the intuitive side of your brain. But if you're reading and you turn over the card and you look at it and you think, oh, the Ace of Wands, new beginnings, a new sense of identity, a gift of spiritual growth, you can say those things, but you're thinking, I wonder if it's, and you get into your rational brain at the same time. So if you record it, then you're only in your intuitive side. So, I'm glad you brought that up, and I definitely recommend that to everyone, even experienced readers.
And, you know, a lot of the readings that I do are on the phone, from people
mm-hmm.
all over and now with Skype, it's really easy, you know, even in other countries. And there are, I have clients that I've had for a number of years that I've never met in person. And what's interesting is that, again, it's kind of about being able to be in the flow and, and record. And it's kind of nice because there's no, the cards, I'm working with cards when I'm doing the readings, but there's no visual contact for the, with the other person. So it really is nice to get into flow. And I'm just glad that you have your students record the, when they're working with their cards, because that's a great, great, great way to learn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, it, that is it, it's been a good tool. You were involved for years. Julie mentioned the Talk Deck, and for those of you that aren't familiar with tarot decks, the Talk Deck is was created I was going to say 100 years ago, but I think it's...
probably in the 30s, I think.
Yeah. And the, we're not quite up to there. And it's a really advanced deck, and a lot of people are hesitant to use it because it is got very, very powerful imagery. And another deck that I know that you've been very involved with and are yet again is the Voyager deck with James Monolith. And can you speak to the evolution of that deck?
Yes. So James Monolith created that deck with, he studied with Angelus Arian in San Francisco at the same time that Mary Greer did. So this was a long time ago. It's in the 70s sometime,
uh-huh.
Late 70s. And so a lot of the tarot revolution was beginning to start then.
Yeah.
And Angelus Arian was an amazing teacher. She passed away this spring. A lot of people know her other work and some of her books, but she also was very, very gifted in the tarot. And she was a cultural anthropologist, and she used the Aleister Crowley deck. And so then when James Wanless decided he wanted to create his own deck, and he was a PhD political scientist professor. He worked with an artist named Ken Knudsen from the San Francisco, and they worked together, and Ken did the actual hands-on, it's a photo montage collage deck, and James kind of got the imagery, and yes, we were very much involved, and then I helped him publish the deck, and so I was actually the publisher, co-publisher with James. We started Merrill West Publishing, first publishing only the Voyager deck, and then went on to publish Angel Blessing Cards and other books and so forth. So I'm actually co-owner of the deck. So I've been involved with the deck since the very, very, very beginning. And that's why it's so much fun to, you know, that you're in a beautiful space, because creating the deck is going to lead you who knows where. But it's such a magical time for you.
Well, I'm excited to have you on tonight, because I didn't tell you this, but tomorrow night I'm going to be going down to hear James Wanless speak at Vision Quest Bookstore in Everett. So those of you who are in Watkins, Skagit, Snohomish County in the state of Washington, you might want to go to see James tomorrow night. He's doing readings on Sunday through the store, but I hear that they're all full. And then if you go on his website, you can see that he'll also be in Seattle. I don't remember what the dates are. So that's very exciting. He spends a lot of time on the road, doesn't he?
Oh, he is teaching and teaching all over. And at one point we're kind of revving it up again, but we had a lot of students. We had a correspondence course and certification courses and so forth for the Voyager. And he's been continually teaching and been much more on the road than I have. I'm starting to teach again myself. And he does a tremendous amount of work in Asia. And that seems to be a real hot spot for him at the moment, Japan, China, Taiwan, Singapore. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a great speaker. So if anybody in the area is listening, I mean, he's a very, very dynamic speaker. And he has a different, everybody does. Everyone who works with tarot has a very different perspective from it. That's the beauty of
right.
art form. It's fabulous, you know.
And that's good for you to bring up, too. Those of you who are learning tarot, don't memorize any book. Allow your intuition and allow your relationship with the cards. Develop a relationship with the cards so that when you look at them, you have a sense of what they mean, and then you can put it in the context of the question that you're asking. You're right. We all have. I'm sure you and James have been using the same deck for years now, and I bet that even with that, you both would interpret slightly differently the same card.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we
have the same meaning.
They have the same meaning, but I like to tell people it's like, learning how to play a musical instrument. So in the very beginning, it's important to know the notes and to practice the scales and know what you're doing, because if you don't and you want to do improvisation or far-out jazz or something, it's going to sound horrible unless mm-hmm. you have a foundation. So it is really important. I've had some people, because I've always taught, yes, just like you, it's much more, I want you to use your intuition from the get-go. And the Voyager was created with that in mind, because they're pictures and photos so that everybody could relate to it. But
mm-hmm.
in the same vein, if you don't learn the basics, then you're not going to really be able to take off with it, or then why would you use the cards anyway? So it's kind of like learning an instrument. And the more you do it, and that's the other part, is the more you do it, the better you get.
That's right. And also going back to our earlier conversation, have a friend ask you a question, those of you who practice tarot and think that you should only do it for yourself, because, again, you'll learn so much when you read for someone else. You'll really be surprised at how much you learn about what you think about the cards and how you interpret them. So, yes, do keep practicing them. As a matter of fact, talking about the different interpretations with cards and things, I said we're going to do some readings today. And what I'm thinking is sometimes people don't, they don't always stay tuned in as we're doing readings for other people. It may feel intrusive or, well, this doesn't really interest me. But Julie and I are going to do readings. We'll do one now, and then we'll do at least one or two more later on in the show. But you look at this as an example. If the question isn't a question specifically that you have in mind, look at the different way that Julie and I pull cards and the way we interpret the cards. And I think you'll learn a lot about reading the tarot and how much flexibility there is. So, Janet, can you tell me, is Sharon available, and is she waiting in the wings?
Hello.
Hello, is this Sharon?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Sharon. This is Judith and Julie. Welcome today.
Hi, Judith
and
Julie.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you tell us what you would like to know today?
Well, if you need specifics, or maybe you could just see what's coming up in like the next 3 months.
Okay.
Or if you want a specific, you're the boss, you tell me.
Can
we're
I interject something here?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the things that you know, if in doing readings, just because we're talking about how we do readings and do them differently, if mm-hmm. you have a question, if there's an sometimes even just the area of your life you're wanting some information in, but if you have a question and burning desire, I always say
I do.
What you want to do is state your question, because we get to it a lot faster, and then we don't have to. You know, that's part of also a reading is learning how to ask the question.
Okay. It's a career question. I haven't landed a job yet, and I just wonder what you see with that.
Okay.
At least the one I want.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. Now, when you say at least the one that you want, do you mean that you have a particular job in mind, or, a particular place that you want to work, or
no.
a...
No. I'm looking for a new job.
A career.
Okay. Okay, I'm looking for a new job. I've been unemployed
okay.
all year. I'm
okay.
working part-time right now. I'm working part-time to pay my bills. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking for a job.
Okay.
There
okay.
you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the way I would question, oh, this is great. I just pulled, as I was speaking, I don't look at the cards until I turn them over.
Oh.
I mean, I lay the cards out and I don't see them until I turn them over. And the very first card that I got is a 10 of Earth. And in this particular deck, I use Pamela Eakin's Tarot of the Spirit deck. And in this particular deck, the 10 of Earth is called the Great Work.
Okay.
And so this would indicate that you're in line. You're in the cosmic line for this great work. Julie, what do you have there?
Well, I usually pick three. See, that's how we do things
mm-hmm.
differently. I just, the triad, mm-hmm. it's good for me. So I got three cards, and then the Voyager, I've got Devil's Play, which would be the Devil and some of the other cards, the Preserver, which is the Woman of Worlds, and also Change, which is the 7 of Worlds. So how I would interpret this for you
okay.
is that let's talk about the Devil's Play, is that
mm-hmm.
that means doing something different than you've been doing. You can't be, to get a job, the kind of job you really want, you have to not be looking for it in the same way you've been looking for it. So the action of this, if you're going to have an action, is you've got to shake it up.
It goes more to the left.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, do something unusual. Be unusual, and also there's the change that goes with that. And concurrently, the Preserver, the Woman of Worlds, is also talking about while you're in this job search, to make certain that you take really good care of yourself, because also your physical vitality needs looking after.
I know.
Because it's stressful.
I'm just not myself. I know.
Yeah, it's and so what do you, and the other thing is, and I'm going to let Judith talk, I'll stop talking. The other one is I picked one more, and I got the Three of Cups, the Love card. So obviously you're looking for something that you can throw yourself into, that you're going to love to do. And this Devil's Play is, you know, it's like, yes, we need practical things. Yes, you have to work like you're doing right now to pay the bills. It's stressful, but you've got to get your... It's like getting your wild self back again and your mojo working a little bit. And then I think you'll be able to find what you want.
It's just you get more discouraged the more you look. It's just, do you understand what I mean? It's like...
It's very discouraging. I deal with a lot of people who are unemployed. And then
can you pick up a time frame or no?
I'm going to let Judith talk for a minute because I've talked too much.
Okay.
And I can look and see about that too. Go ahead, Judith.
I agree with what Julie was saying about different things coming up. I picked the one card, and you're like, I'm excited because, yes, you do have a promise of something coming up. But then I have as a best course of action card the 7 of Earth, and that's about looking in different places than where you've looked before.
I am.
So,
I already started. Okay.
Okay. And there, and at this moment, you may feel like even with your new places, you've looked as many places as you possibly can. I call the sevens kind of the periphery card. It's like you think that you've seen everything that there is along the sidelines too, and the answer is most likely to come in. I wish you could see my hands, because my hands are being very clear about what you're seeing.
Okay.
But the vision is actually wider, and it's likely to come in. What's likely to come to you is from the periphery, not in the mainstream, not in the way that you've been looking so far, and not in the usual source. And then the other card that came with that is, so that's your best course of action, and how you do the best course of action is with the Wheel of Fortune. And the Wheel of Fortune says that there is inevitable change. And as a change card, it's important for you to try to manifest the change yourself as much as you can. And then the last card that I pulled, what do you need to beware of or be careful about? And it is Brother Water, which is also, I agree with Julie, you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. If you need a good cry, go somewhere and have a good cry and get those emotions out. And look at do you know what the chakras are, Sharon?
Yes.
Look at your chakras. Feel your chakras. Feel into each of the seven main chakras and feel where you're holding the distress, because it is. You're in, and legitimately so, you're in real distress. And so look at that and then pay attention and do a cleansing and a clearing of that particular chakra. And I see that coming up. I don't have a time frame because I haven't found a real effective way of doing time. Julie, I don't know if you have, but you have homework to do. And when you do do your homework.
Oh, God, it's already been almost a year.
I know. But that doesn't mean it can't be next week. It can be next week. It can be tomorrow. But what is it? So your homework is to look in new and different places than where you have before, or to look further afield, or to pay attention to what's on the very, very edges of your consciousness, and then to feel into your body to feel where that distress is, because it's blocking, and allow that to cleanse itself.
And I have something to say about the timing on it. The timing is very, a few years back, it was much easier to be able to be more accurate as far as timing goes. In the last 3 years, I'd say 3 or 4 years, everything's changing so rapidly, as we talked about earlier in the program, that there are many different possibilities all available almost at the same time. So depending upon which one you choose is how quickly things are going to happen. With that said, I picked a card for you, Sharon, for the timing of getting the new the job that you want and being fulfilled with that. And so I got the Emperor. The Emperor is a great business card. It has money. It's like, you know, I'm not worried about you in the long run. And that also is a four. So you could say 4 days, 4 weeks, or 4 months. I wouldn't go further out than 4 months. And having said that, we all have to be careful about when someone makes a prediction with timing.
I know.
You know, because I've done that myself. Somebody said, oh, by so-and-so, this is going to happen, and I know better. And I've gone, and then it comes, and then I'm all irritated because it didn't happen.
I know.
So with that, but take heart, because it really is not, I don't think it's that far out. It's been a tough year. And just like June said, we're both, what's interesting, you know, I'm in North Carolina, she's there in Washington, we're not looking at each other, And both of what we picked is very similar for you about having to look in a different place. So you can do it. It's going to happen.
I know. Thank you so much. That was really insightful. Thank you for helping.
Okay.
Have a good cry, a healing cry. And then go in and be strong, because I agree with Julie. It's not going to be too much longer. It's on the edges, on the very edges. Thank you for calling, Sharon.
Thank you. Have a nice evening, okay, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, bye-bye. That brings us back to our theme of the program is, how do we stay focused when everything is changing so rapidly? So in this reading with Sharon, that's a perfect example of, for her, things haven't been changing rapidly enough, and because she hasn't been able to, she's been in this kind of, I don't think it's too strong a word to say, a stagnant place in terms of her employment at least. How do we empower people to be able to take control of their lives again when they're in such dire straits and feeling so lost? What do you suggest to your clients?
Well, part of it is that I think it's really, really, really important, and I know you do this with your readings, is that, you know, we speak the truth, our truth that we see, and reflect back to our clients. Because I know there are people I know that do readings professionally, and they tell people what they want to hear. And you know what I'm saying? And so I think it's important to, in other words, yes, you know, Sharon, there are a lot of people where, you know, maybe they're losing their house or they're, you know, there's real stuff going on. So you can't, like, airy-fairy that away. And yet it does come back down to being able to talk about it, also talking about the, you know, what we see. And concurrently, you know, there have been times when I've been dealing with people with their businesses, for instance, and saying, no, you know, things are not going to turn around very quickly. So that means be prudent. You know, what can we do then? Cut back, you know, or whatever. So it's kind of also being real and concurrently giving some hope, because deep down, anything can change in an instant. Tomorrow,
that's right.
Everything can change in an instant in any direction. So it's the hopelessness that, I mean, I've experienced it myself too, the hopelessness. And then it's kind of like, okay, one more day. And I think it's really good for people occasionally to have a pity party, as long as it doesn't last for a long time. Like you said, have a good cry. Perfect. We all need, you know. Go ahead.
And that's what's interesting too, that we both came up with cards that were about taking care of ourselves was a big thing. And then we both got around change. What is interesting to me, like Julie said, she's in North Carolina. I'm in the state of Washington. And we, neither of us got a card that said, well, go out and manifest what you want, or go out and you're about to reach your highest potential. So I remember years ago when I did a reading for a lady, and she said, well, what if other cards had come up, what would the reading have said? So it isn't just that Julie and I are on the same, we're copying each other. It's that there really are cards that either one of us could have picked up that would have given a completely different message about what would be the best thing for Sharon to do in these circumstances. And that, in my opinion, is where tarot is an empowering tool for you. If you have a deck, or you have angel cards, or you have the I Ching or any kind of divination, is when you look at the information And if you're talking to through your higher self or through your angels and guides, going to get information that you can use. And so that in itself is empowering. It's empowering for her to cry because she needs to have that cleansing.
Absolutely.
It's empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I totally agree with you. I mean, there's, and the thing that that can be empowering also is that, and you did it in the question with the card, and I did it just by looking at the cards, is that the action, each tarot card also has a can have numerous actions, but also it's about, is sometimes it's important not to take action, and then other times, is there
mm-hmm.
anything, any action to be taken? And it doesn't mean everything's going to turn around in a moment. And yet that also, when we're feeling hopeless, can give us a sense of dominion over something. Because what if you and I were, you know, someplace in the Middle East right now being where the bombs are going off? Our
mm-hmm.
reality would be, you know, can we stop the bomb? Well, maybe not, but what can we do to feel, to be present again and to look and to be grounded enough to say, well, what can I do in this moment? So
mm-hmm.
it's not about
I agree.
Creating some fantasy. It's about going, okay, this is a really powerful tool, Tarot, because it helps me get in touch with myself, and it also helps me assist other people.
When you are looking at timing issues, this time you picked the major arcana and it had the four. If it had been a minor arcana, say the four of pentacles, how would you have interpreted that, or would you have used that as a timing card?
If it were like the four of, in this deck it's the four of worlds, I could have, and that's called, it's actually commencement. So it's an action card in this particular deck. And
mm-hmm.
I might have said the same thing. I might have said, yes, there could be, you know, we might look at the fours. Also,
mm-hmm.
it's also representative about spring, so sometimes it can be the season because it's and I didn't get that sense. My intuition was not that sense with Sharon, but it could have been that the emperor represents Aries, so it could be in the springtime. Now, if it were one of the... you know, like there's a card in this deck called stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have said, I don't know. You know, I'm not getting, I mean, and then sometimes the timing is only dependent upon, I'm not saying Sharon has this, so if she's still listening, this is not about you, Sharon, but sometimes we want something to happen, and we're too stagnant within ourselves in order for anything to be known.
Right.
With a timing.
Right.
Now, how do you work with timing?
I have, like I said, usually with people, when I do readings, they usually have some kind of homework. So if they don't get around to it, it's going to
mm-hmm.
take longer. And if they do it, then they usually get some sense of moving forward, and something usually happens fairly short after that. I'm getting better about having a sense of timing, but I intuit it more than I use my card for it. But I'm
mm-hmm.
going to start using, as you did, certainly with the major arcana, I'm more comfortable saying, okay, here's a four. I'm going to play around with that a little bit more. I'm one of the tarot groups on Facebook. That was a big question, a big, long conversation with people about timing, and it seems to be one of the more challenging parts of working with tarot. Tarot is less responsive to timing questions, I should say, than maybe definitely astrology or
mm-hmm.
Even the I Ching. Well,
I agree with you. I mean, I think that it's, and also there is, regardless of, I think astrology is probably the best at particularly Indian or sidereal astrology in particular for doing timing of things. And yet, you know, people want to know, so it's sometimes it, no one's supposed to know the time because
right.
that's not the right question to ask at that moment, because then what can happen is we all have a tendency, and like I said, I've done this myself, where then I'm sort of looking for something rather than the doing of it to make it happen.
Right.
And it becomes passive.
Yes. I will often, actually, I do timing because I'll often do, like when she first asked, a 3-month reading or a 4-month reading. Those require a more in-depth than we have time with these short readings on the, and so I'll look to see, well, what's coming up in the next 3 or 4 months. And it tells a story. And that is such a fun reading for both me and the clients, because you look and you see where you are now, and then you're moving forward and moving forward as you go around the wheel. I do it in the form of a circle. Speaking again of readings, we have another person on the line. Ipitar, am I pronouncing that anything close to being correct?
Hi.
Are you there?
Yes, this is Ipitar.
Ipitar, very good. And
okay.
Ipitar, what can we do for you today?
Yeah, I have a question. I have several creative endeavors, and that's what my question is about, creative endeavors.
Do you have one in particular you're more interested in knowing about? Or just your creativity in general?
Well, there's several. There's one, this book that I've started to write, and also I'll be graduating next year in holistic health that includes several modalities, and I'm not really sure yet where I'm going to actually specialize once I graduate.
Okay.
So I think my tendency would be to look to see what is in your highest and best good to focus on, where to put your focus for your creativity. How would you deal with that question, Julie?
I think that's fine. I've actually kind of asked myself that, and I've done cards for both of those two things.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do yours, and I'll draw my cards.
Okay, I'll be kind of quick. So what I see for you as far as the book goes, I have the Surfer, which is the Man of Cups, and the Voyager, and Purity, which is the Two of Wands. And so there's an emotional component to the book, but there's not as much action around it at this time.
I've got to interrupt for a second because that was exactly the card that I pulled.
Really?
Yes.
There we go. So it's magic. You know how it works. And then on your graduation, you know, Avatar, when you graduate, you're going to find which modality to go into, and there's more energy for that because that also puts you out in the world, and you kind of have more much more feeling of success, and there's a lot more energy around getting your holistic practice going. And I see you working with someone else because I have Feeler, Synergy, and the Ace of Worlds, which is success for your becoming a holistic practitioner. So,
and that's so funny because I got the One of Earth, which is the same thing.
Same thing. So now you go, Judith.
Well,
you got it.
I agree around the book. There's some emotional attachment that you really need to release because the book hasn't run its course, but some emotional attachment around it has. And you have a lot more energy, really clear and positive energy around your career. And like now when I do the One of Earth or the One of Worlds, it is a cosmic gift that's being given in perfect timing. So mm-hmm. you're going to find actually a new and unexpected gift around your work. And you're going to be taking some risk because, well, when you graduate and you go out into the world, you're taking a risk. That's kind of the nature of it. And you're going to have a lot of options that will really fire you up, and that is Sister Earth and the Seven of Fire, these two cards that came up together. And sevens are about making many different choices, analysis, and understanding, figuring things out, and figuring out where you want your passion to go. So be ready and willing to explore, and something new and very exciting is going to be there for you to find.
Okay. I think that's so cool that we both got the same cards.
I do, too.
I do, too.
Okay.
But
okay.
I wanted to ask about what you said about, is there something I need to release in my own emotional self before I write the book? I didn't quite understand that part.
Yes. Have you started the book at all?
I have, like, started writing, and what I did, I had to reorganize. I've been doing some reorganized because I started writing, and then, I put together chapters and sub-chapters, and then I started changing things around.
Yeah, you have some emotional attachment to it that you need to release. My suggestion would be for you to put the book aside for a while.
That's what I've done. I did that, and I was led and guided to do that, but I don't know why.
Well, because you're going to have a different perspective as you go further along. And
okay. You're
in a gestation, in a absorbing period right now rather than a writing period.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're on the right track with your, you know, and the book will come. It's just that this is kind of a timing thing, don't you think, Judith, that it's,
yes.
The time for this is not right because your energy wants to go more into your holistic practice and get out and about with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're going to have more to bring to the book in another year.
Okay. Okay.
Okay?
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Julie, can you tell our listeners the best way to get a hold of you and where they can meet you if they're in your part of the country?
Well, yes, I am in the Asheville, North Carolina area, so I do readings at different places around here, and also I have an office in my home, and they can go to my website, which is acupsychic.com. AccuPsychic.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter. And also, I'm Julie King Business Facebook for my business page, or Julie and the initial R King, because there are a lot of Julie Kings, evidently. So I'm Julie R King on Facebook, and you're welcome to contact me there, and you can get my email and so forth. And that's probably the best way.
Julie is, again, you just had a taste of her reading. She's really excellent, and you can tell, I think, tonight she has a lot of fun when she reads, and you have a lot of fun having the readings with her. I really enjoyed the program today, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Perhaps before you start your show, we can have you on so that people can remember and tune into you and learn how to tune into you when you get your program up and on the air.
Oh, thank you, and I've loved being on. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It was terrific. Thank you very much. And thank you, Janet, our producer extraordinaire, for handling the phone calls and all of the background stuff. And go to empoweryouradio.com to see the other radio programs, including What's Right About Men, and, of course, Janet's program, Living Astrology. And you'll get wonderful information.
Thank you for listening to Tarot
of
Empowerment. If you would like a tarot reading from Judith Salt, or if you have suggestions for a future show, contact Judith at judithsalt.com. That's Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, at Judith Salt, S as in Sam, U-L-T as in Tom, .com.